To our correspondent Karen Middleton in Australia for the last time this year. Kia ora e hoa, as we say here, which means greetings, my friend. Nearly there for you.
Good morning to you. Thank you. Yes, I'm officially on holidays, Catherine. So trying to keep my mind on the job this morning as opposed to the last of the Christmas shopping and the food that I have to get organised. But yeah, it's here finally, end of the year.
We're Hooray. Offering you 8.5 minutes of reprieve from all this.
Oh, thank you so much. Look, it's sad when this feels like a good alternative to holidays, isn't it?
Anyway, yeah. Look, unfortunately, this damn thing is just, you just want to put your hands around it and deal to it, don't you? On Christmas, and we've got New South Wales in particular, those cases rising. Do you think state governments are going to introduce some kind of a move before Christmas, or is that just not politically palatable? What's going to happen?
Well, this is interesting, and I know you've got the same challenges across the Tasman as we do, and we're watching the Northern Hemisphere with fear and trepidation as they suffer. Here, yes, you're right, there is a political overlay to all of this. We have a federal government going into election season, due to have its election sometime between now and next May, probably either March or May of next year, and the Prime Minister desperately does not want people to be cranky having been locked out of Christmas. So he's putting the pressure on for no more restrictions and insisting there won't be any. And at the moment, the state and territory leaders are saying the same, that they don't plan to lock down again as they have in the last couple of years for Christmas, but there is growing pressure to have at least some form of restrictions because those case numbers are absolutely soaring. We saw more than 3,000 new cases in New South Wales yesterday. It's the highest single number of increases, on any day in the whole 2 years of the pandemic. And there's some pretty terrible modelling that's going to be put to the state and territory and federal leaders today in an emergency meeting of their national cabinet that has a worst case scenario talking about 200,000 cases a day by the end of the month. So that is pretty terrifying. What we have seen in the last 24 hours is three jurisdictions reintroducing mask mandates. Here in the ACT, the mandate to wear masks at indoor venues other than your own private home came back into effect last night at midnight. Queensland is reintroducing, and also Tasmania are all concerned about rising case numbers. So there's a lot of discussion and a lot of pressure about how to manage this thing. People desperately don't want their Christmases impeded, but at the same time, I don't want to get sick. And there's, the news coming, as I say, from the Northern Hemisphere is not great. But I know from just looking around here in Canberra, things are a lot quieter than they normally would be at this time of year. And I think a lot of people have bolted for the border already, gone up to Queensland to make sure that they don't get shut out, get across in time. And there are still some quarantine mandates in some states, albeit reduced. I think the Queensland one is reduced by half in the last day or so. So people still have to do some isolation when they arrive under certain circumstances. But at the moment, Christmas is going ahead and we're all being very wary and vigilant.
Well, we're going 10 rounds with this thing, and it looks like the boosters now is our next best shot, so to speak. How quickly will your booster roll out?
Well, this is the other debate. So at the moment, we had the medical advice that said 6 months after your second COVID vaccination, you should have a booster. That was moved forward a week or two ago to 5 months or 20 weeks. There's quite a lot of pressure on to move that forward to 4 months. Now, I believe you guys have now got it.
Yes, straight to four, which was very interesting. Yeah,
so that was in our news this morning that you across the Tasman have four, and I think that'll probably go into the mix here as well as those leaders debate that. But that's one of the key things that we'll talk about today. The problem they're going to have then is not only supply, and they've got some 5 million doses sitting around now, but also distribution because so many people had had their second COVID shot, that was easing off. And so a lot of the states have shut down their mass vaccination hubs, and now all of a sudden they need them again. So whether they're going to have to open them again is unclear. But I know if we go to 4 months, that's going to make about 7 million people eligible all of a sudden in a week or two. So they've got to work out their distribution yet again, having eased it off. And that's going to be in the mix in that discussion today as well.
Well, speaking of distribution, what was the truck crisis that's just been narrowly averted at seems?
Well, there's an interesting issue with supply chains over here still, as a sort of hangover from COVID-19. There are a number of issues that are emerging for business as the economy reopens. It's the headline figures that we saw from the government's mid-year budget forecast, the forecasts that came out last week, are pretty good. Unemployment is really low and the like, but there are things under the surface causing a lot of problems for business. And one of them is this issue for trucking. There's an additive that goes into fuel. It's known commercially as AdBlue, and it has a key component, which is urea, a chemical compound related to urine, that is exported mostly out of China in large quantities. That's a key additive in AdBlue. Now, what AdBlue is used for is to make trucks comply with fuel emissions standards, and they're not legally allowed to run if they don't comply with those standards. Most modern diesel trucks are requiring this additive. The production of the additive worldwide has been shortened because of this shortage of the urea compound. It also affects fertilizer, incidentally, for farmers, but that's a different quality and not as dramatic as this issue. The federal government has had to step in and try and source AdBlue from other countries, urea, and step up manufacturing onshore, which it has done through Indonesia. So that is helping, at least for now, avert the crisis. But the trucking industry was saying they were going to have to pull their trucks off the road, which meant that everything that was being delivered on a truck for Christmas was at risk. So it's been a big crisis that they've tried to deal with behind closed doors for the last couple of weeks. I wrote about it on the weekend, among other things, and it's been getting a lot of publicity in the last week or so here in Australia. But it looks like they've managed to resolve it just for the time being, at least.
Yeah.
But it's not clear why China isn't exporting as much anymore, but it is causing huge trouble.
Just a couple of minutes to talk about the Sydney to Hobart yacht race on Boxing Day. Might be facing some pretty wild weather.
Yeah, people who have a long memory will remember the terrible 1998 yacht race where 6 sailors died. We desperately do not want a repeat of that, but the Bureau of Meteorology is warning that the big storms we've had here of late will reappear during the period of the race, and they're warning sailors they could only get 20 minutes warning if there's a tornado-like storm. And of course, we've seen those terrible storms up in the Philippines as well. So sailors are bracing themselves for that. There are 94 yachts entered in the race. It's a big blue water classic every year and starts on Boxing Day at 1 o'clock Sydney time. We cross our fingers and pray for good weather.
Of course, Boxing Day is always a big day for Test cricket as well, and we do have to give you some congratulations. There's been lots of ups and downs in Australian cricket history recently, but the Ashes are all yours.
Well, at the moment, we've got 3 more tests to go. So they're 2 up, the Australians. The Poms, the English, are not doing terribly well. They want to try and come back in the Boxing Day test, but the Australians have just won the test in Adelaide. Poor old Pat Cummins, though, having been appointed as captain, was set to take the field and then was at a COVID exposure site and had to isolate himself, so he didn't get to captain the field in Adelaide. Steve Smith, who was, you'll remember, the disgraced captain that had to quit when he was involved in the Sandpaper Gate cheating scandal in South Africa, had been reappointed as the deputy to Pat Cummins and was suddenly captain again for the Adelaide test. But he is making sure everybody knows that he's not staying in the job and that Cummins will resume and finally lead his people onto the field in Melbourne on the Boxing Day test. And then there'll be a test match in Sydney after that, after New Year, and then one more in mid-January instead of Perth. It's been moved to Hobart for the first time. So a bit of cricket to go. Fingers crossed we can take the whole series.
So Canberra missed out. Look, excuse me for getting ahead of myself. So you're 2-0 up, are you?
We're 2-0 up.
Okay. It's going to be a cracker. It's going to be a cracker if England comes back to win it. But
correct.
Who knows?
It'll be a good spectator sport if they come back in the third test. But, yeah, you're right. We'd like to take them.
Happy Christmas, Karen. Thanks very much. Have a good break.